It's over here tonight. It's like right here. So, good. Well, I wasn't with you this morning, but I heard you guys had great service this morning, so amen to that. I was with Fort Wayne. I think we had a good service that was there this morning, and I was talking to Pastor Bob from Columbia City on the way here tonight, and they had a great service today, so it's good. So New Life did very well. I think numbers were up all around. I think the positive was up all around, and some good things from everywhere, so it was a good day. It was good. And I know it seems like every year, in the last couple of years, it's always snowing on Sunday. It always snows. It seems like it's always snowing on Saturday night or Sunday morning. And there's that piece where I'm just not going to get up and go. But you guys did it today and doing it tonight. So, good. So, that's a good piece. And somebody put cookies on my desk. Who put cookies on my desk? I'm trying to find that out. Who did that? Is that you, Don? Oh, okay. Well, I had one. I was like, first... No, it wasn't you, but I went over and I thought, Hannah did it, and Hannah didn't do it, and because they tasted kind of like hers, but it was Dawn. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. So, the fast, just talking about the fast for a moment, it was good to hear some of you testify about the fast, and so I knew that not everybody was going to do the three-day fast, but yet you really did to do, you know, I think when I say to do the three-day fast, which means you go without eating for the full 3 days. But there are many of you that did like Ed did. You did one day. There was people that did one day, and that's great. And it wasn't meaning that you were a failure. If you did one day and then you ate the second day and you fasted the third day, you were still part of the 3 day fast. You found a spot in there where you fasted and that worked for you. So we needed all kinds of people to do all kinds of different fasts. We needed some to do those 1 days, those certain meals, and 2 days, another day people to do it in 3 days. But it was a good fast, and just kind of want to give you a couple of things about why we fast before I get into this. But you know what? Why did we fast? Why, you know, we did it for the vision and the outcome. You know what we what God has given to us for 2016, that He would bless us for the things that we're about to do. But also there was something in there, maybe specifically that you are fasting for. There were some things that I was fasting for, and sometimes God gives the answer in those 3 days during the fast, sometimes at the end of fast, sometimes it's 6 months from now. But there is power in fasting. I want to let you know, fasting is a tool that God gives to us that we're allowed to use, and it is a power. It is like an atomic bomb. It just on your situation or what have you. I'm quickly reminded that fasting, even when Jonah went out and went to Nineveh, to this very wild town, people say people don't listen to the word, but they did listen to the one man, and the king pronounced a fast. And what happened was God pulled back the pain that he was ready to put destruction on them. Unlike Sodom and Gomorrah, where the pain came down, God pulled back, and that Nineveh was not destroyed. What changed with that? Change of heart with his prayer and his fasting. It was prayer and fasting. Jesus comes on the scene later on in history. Jesus comes on the scene. Disciples try to cast out a demon, couldn't do it. And they said, Jesus, why could we not cast out this demon? And Jesus says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Not just by prayer, but prayer and fasting. So fasting is really when you're locking horns and you're saying, okay, well, I'm in for a fight. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight this fight, and I'm going to lock horns with it, and I'm going to pray through it, but I'm going to lock horns in it because this is very important for me, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to not eat, and this is because it's more important to me than food, and I'm going to fight this spiritual battle. So I just want to remind you that prayer and fasting are very important, and all along, God has saw your hearts. He has saw what you've done. He saw how you've done that and stepped aside to some things. So blessings, I believe, have already happened. I think blessings just for you acknowledging what Jesus has done and how you've handled and some of the good things that's come out of the fasting that you've done is already a sign to me. What I've already heard was positive things about the fast. Just even with Dan, without getting into that, just I knew that situation. I knew that it's almost an impossible piece unless God intervened. And God intervened. And that's only with people that even if you don't know them, you pray and you fast. There is a power in that. Daniel had that, Daniel in the Old Testament. It just prayer and fasting is so powerful. And if the churches in America would draw back to prayer and fasting, and get serious about prayer and fasting, I'm telling you, things would begin to start changing in our nation. I really believe that. There is prayer, and there is prayer is very important, but fasting is like the icing on the cake. It is the slam dunk in basketball. It really is, but it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. So hopefully that you may not have enjoyed parts of it. But there does come a time, as these young men over here said, and I was very impressed by our young people doing that. There was not just this young group right here, but there were some other young people in our church that were doing it, and it impressed me, because when our young people start to take on and take those great responsibilities, man, that should show us who are older that, man, we need to, if they can, we need to follow into that as well. We need to finish in those things. So I'm glad of that. So, and I'm sure you guys have all grown through that fast, for whatever part of the fast is you've grown spiritually through that. And I'm sure we all have. So, but if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians tonight. We're going to be there in chapter 12, and we're going to be there for a little bit tonight. And Paul's trying to do everything he can to get the people of Corinth to listen. He's trying to do everything he can to get them to understand. He's trying to get them everything that he can by he uses this word boasting, but he's going to boast in the Lord. And then he says, I'm going to boast in a man that I know. He's using the man that he knows. And many of us feel that he is the man that he says, I know a man. And all those things. He wants to boast about what Jesus and who Jesus is and how that all comes together in. And so we're going to pick it up here. Let's pick it up in 5. Let's pick it up in chapter 12, verse 5. So he says, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. He says, I'm going to boast in my negatives. Most of us like to talk about how good we are about with something. Most of us like to talk about how tough we are, how strong we are, how good I am at something. Paul says, I'm going to boast about those other things. He's going to put himself out on the line. Have you ever walked on the, you ever want to tell people about the things in your life, and when talk about yourself and your infirmities, the things that are not so great in your life? You want to boast about those things? We don't want to boast about those things. We want to boast about the positive things. Paul says, I'm not going to boast about myself except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, there is a fleshly part in us that loves to talk about ourselves. There's a part in us that loves the conversation to point toward ourself, our situation, because we feel that we are very important. And you are important, but we want to feel like we are the most important. And so he says, for though I might desire to boast, I will not boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I will refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. So he wants to bring himself down, but he wants to bring some things up, okay? So if we want to bring, he's going to want to bring God up here. He was going to want to bring Christ up in his life. But he doesn't want to do it with all the great things, pretty much, because people will start saying, yeah, and what they'll end up doing, like when they were on the island of Malta, they began to almost want to call Paul and them guys a god and all this. And, oh, you know, so he doesn't want to go in that direction. You know, that's not happened yet, but he doesn't want to go in that direction. We don't want to be that thinking we are level with God. We're not level with God. We're not level with Christ, right? We're not. And he says, I want to lift up Christ, but if I do, I'm going to do that. So I don't want to be lifted up. I need to lift up God. How can I lift him up? Let's get a little deeper. He says, at least I should be exalted above measure. He says in verse 7, at least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, at least I'd be exalted above measure. Now we know Paul's done amazing, great things. There's some miracles that have happened, and some things he has had in visions and revelations that God spoke to him about, some of these other things in the past. God is, Paul's at this kind of level that is just like really up there. And when you get to that point, if you ever get to that point, there's an opportunity for you to become prideful. There's a door that can become open that you can become prideful. And as preachers can fall through this, but even people that anyone can fall through this, where you think that you're better and bigger than you think you are. You're bigger and better than you are. You begin to boast upon yourself. You begin to boast upon those things and not upon the Lord. You begin to boast in those things. So there was a thorn in the flesh that was given to him. He says, it was given to me. A thorn was given to me. Now, a thorn is something that's what? Stuck in our arms, stuck in our legs, stuck in our foot. Somewhere where the pain comes, it's there. We don't like it. It may be small, but we don't like it. It makes us feel uncomfortable. It's got some pain in it. There's some things in it. Can I tell you right now that doing it in ministry, and any part of ministry, there's going to be some pain in it? And as a Christian, there's going to be, you know, you as your family's a Christian and you feel you're doing what God wants you to do and you're trying to live the life in the world and you're trying to let your light shine for Jesus. There's going to be some pain in that. Okay, so but a thorn in the flesh, that means there's something that's in that. And I know there might be some guys that might say, well, this was part of maybe a possible blindness and all that. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe in any of that, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I believe when those shields came off his eyes, he was fine. I believe when God heals, he heals. It's not halfway, it's full. I believe this was a thorn in the flesh. It was something physical. It was something there that is in his world. And God didn't want us to know what it was. Because I think it's almost as much as powerful. I think it seems to be more powerful that we don't know what it is than if we knew what it was. Because we are so easy to judge. We are so quick to judge. But he says, I have a thorn in my flesh that was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. So God allows some of that darkness of that to buffet him, to mess with him from time to time. Lest I be exalted above measure. So there's a part of him that's not a perfect piece. There's something with him. And it brings him back to being that human guy, that he's real, he's human. He is not above everyone, because people have a tendency to put people on pedestals. And people don't need to be put on pedestals. People are trying to put themselves on pedestals, just besides other people trying to put them on pedestals. We don't do very good when we're on a pedestal. And so what happens is eyes turn away from Jesus and turn them on to people, and we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. But he says this thing, concerning this thing, he says, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. He says, I prayed three times. Basically, Paul's saying, I don't like it. I don't like this thing. I don't like it. I don't want it. I want it to go away. I don't like it. And I prayed three times that it would go away. I prayed three times that it would go away. Now, is this something in the flesh where it was physically his body? We don't know. Was it something that was just being that nudging piece? I don't know what it was. We don't know what it was, but we know that this was the piece that was messing with Paul. This was a thorn in his life. Now, here's what he comes up with. He says, I prayed about it three times. I don't know. Is there something that you have all prayed about more than once? There's a few things I'm still praying about. Like, Lord, will you just remove this? Will you fix this? This would help me so much if you just deal with this. This is out of my league. Will you take care of this thing? Will you take care of this one person? Will you take care of this one obstacle in my life? I can't shake it. I can't fix it. I can't do it. I can't do this thing. And he prays with over and over and over. Three times. And then he comes back and he said to me, this is what the Lord says to me. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. What? You're telling me I got to deal with this? I have to deal with this thing? Your grace? What's that all about? Well, we're going to get to this. It all comes into this nice one piece of scripture we're coming up to. But he says, God says, my grace, Christ says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. I think there's a verse down here that's going to help. We're going to get to explain some of that. He says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. This is where he comes in. Okay. If this is going to be part of me, this is part of my stuff I got to deal with, all right, I'm going to boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. And he says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, infirmities. Somebody give me a word that's in your version. Somebody shout it out. Because I have King James tonight, huh? Okay, weaknesses. Okay. I have my King James. I've been sticking into it for the last couple of weeks. I've just been kind of loving it for it. I just do that from time to time. And maybe another month I'll come right up here with a different version. But the infirmities, weaknesses. He says, I take pleasure in them. Now, how can we take pleasure in those things? How can we take pleasure in them? Is everybody here, we'll use the word weakness tonight, and for me, we'll use the word weakness tonight. Does anybody here have a weakness in their life? Here, does anybody have a weakness in their life? Just lift your hand up. You got a weakness in your life. Okay, all right. So we all have that. We all have these infirmities. It's like digging at us, okay? We have that. I'm not asking you to share that tonight, but you have that. But he says, I'm going to take pleasure in those. That doesn't mean I'm going to take pleasure in sin. I want to back up for a moment. That doesn't mean I'm going to take pleasure in sin, because that's not what it's about, okay? All right? This is not giving the excuse to sin, flat out. That's not it, okay? But there's some things in our life that causes us to be weak. And there's weaknesses in there, but he says, I'm going to take pleasure in my weaknesses and approaches. Okay, so he says, in weaknesses. What he's getting to is this. I'm going to take pleasure in my weaknesses, in my infirmities. What he's saying is this. Because I have a weakness in my life, I need to lean on Jesus for my strength. Because I have a weakness in my life, it's going to make me want to lean more on Jesus, who has the strength. Okay? So we all have a weakness. We all have weaknesses. We all have these infirmities. And they're right in front of us. It doesn't make you a bad person. Okay? It makes you to the point on how are you going to deal with those infirmities and those weaknesses. Paul says, he's going to lean on the Lord. Okay? And that's what happens, because he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Basically, Jesus is saying this. You have infirmities, but he says this. I'm enough. Jesus says, I am enough. The problem is, you don't think, most of us tonight probably don't think Jesus is enough. But he is. So number one, in verse 10, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, weaknesses. I'm going to take pleasure in that. In reproaches. Okay? What's your version say? I should have probably bought my NIV. What's your version say? Insults. Okay. Reproaches. Insults. How many of you like to be insulted? No one does. Insults is when somebody's putting you down. A reproach is when somebody's pushing you away. Okay? They're putting themselves up and they're putting you down. We don't like that. We want to push back. We want to defend ourselves. He says, I take pleasure in that. Because when I am pushed away, when I'm insulted, they're not really insulting or pushing me away. They're pushing and insulting Jesus. Okay? So insulting Jesus and pushing you away is really pushing Jesus away. He says, I can take pleasure in that. I don't like it, but I know that it's really not me they're doing it to. They're doing it to Jesus through, they're doing it to me because they don't like the message I'm preaching or sharing. And your family, some of you guys, especially you young, you got a lot of young people here that their parents are not Christians. Some of your parents are not Christians and you struggle with that. And you are insulted by that. In a loving way, sort of. They love you, but they're insulting you. Well, you know why you're fasting, pushing, why you got to go to church on Sunday, why you even go to church on Sunday night, but the big one is, why you give your money to the church? Why are you giving? And they'll ask you, and then when you end up kind of hiding it, you kind of push it away, you don't want to talk about it, but you still do it because inside you know it's right. They're reproaching you, they're insulting you. But when you do it, you feel like it's the right thing to do, right? Right? Even though you feel like you're going against the grain of your own family, you're still doing that, Because here it is, you take pleasure in that, not in what they're doing to you, but you know you're taking pleasure in doing what is right. So we need to be praying for our young, people. Sometimes they're going against the grain in their own family. The two biggest things is why you spend so much time at church, and the other thing is, when you're spending so much time with church, you're not spending time with us. They never brought that up before, but they're only doing it now because you're going to church, and the other part is giving, and they don't like you to give, and they struggle with that. That's not because you're not matching up with them, and it becomes, end up being like you take pleasure in that. Paul takes pleasure in that. It's not that he's happy and jumping around, but he takes pleasure in knowing that God's grace is sufficient for all of this, because we can't handle, we don't know how to handle that. And the big, and one of the next ones is, he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, which we talked about, weaknesses, and reproaches and insults, but he also says in needs. Now, how many of you tonight have a need in your life? I've got one, and I'm praying through it. I've got a couple, but there's this one I'm working through, and it's a need. Sometimes God's not going to answer and give you the answer that you want. And you're going to have to find, there's going to be a time in your life where you're going to have to say that you got to be okay with that. You got to be okay with that. You can keep praying about it. You can fast through it. But it's going to, you're going to have to be okay in that season. You're going to have to be okay praying through it. You're going to have to be okay fasting through it. You're going to have to be okay when people are insulting people or whatever, however it is. You're going to have to be okay with that because Jesus is still enough. Now, there are all kinds of needs that we have in these ministries and in our church, in our families, in our personal life. We have all kinds of needs, and sometimes God allows us to keep having needs because when we keep having needs, we keep wanting to pray. When we don't have needs, we kind of have a tendency to stop praying. When things are going great, we have a tendency to pull away from God. When good things are happening and we begin to be blessed, we begin to walk away from the things, from God who has blessed us. And then we go, oh, what happened? And we run back. And so sometimes God says, you know what? I'm going to leave you in needs. Now, what will happen sometimes is God will meet that need, but another need will come up. That's what happens with our ministry. That's what happens with New Life. So God answers a need, but it isn't really very long, or it could be two at the same time. He answers the one, and he allows that other need to stay there. Because that need is good for you. God knows that need is good for you. You may not like it that you have a need, but many times God's going to fix that need. He's going to fulfill that need. But during that time and that season of that need is for you to draw closer to God, to lean on God, to pull toward God, to understand and know that all your needs are supplied in Him, that you can do all things through Christ. You can do all those things, but you still have that need. But here's the thing. You're okay with that because He says, my grace is still sufficient. Jesus is enough, even when I have a need. Okay? So needs are not always bad. Needs can be good. And so we should be able to say, you know what? I'm going to take pleasure because what happens is when I have needs, I have a tendency to want to pray. I draw closer to God. And if that's what's going to make me draw closer to God, Lord, always being kind of, not that you're a needy person, because you don't need to share all your needs with everybody else. Man, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. No, we should take our needs to the Lord, right? The Bible says in Peter to cast all your anxieties, all your needs, all your things before the Lord because He cares for you. So we need to lay them at Jesus' feet. Okay? So needs are not a bad thing. When you have a need, it's not a bad thing. Sometimes it's just flat out a godly thing. Then people want to say, well, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Then you have not because you ask. That's true. But sometimes God says, you know what? You're going to be a person that's always going to have a need. Because when you don't have a need, you have a tendency to go away far from God. You have a tendency to fade from God. But when you have a need, you begin to become focused. So sometimes God allows that thorn in the flesh to be a need. It's not a bad thing to have a need. He moves on into persecutions. Now, we don't know what it's like to be persecuted, but I met a man yesterday who was persecuted. He was a Burmese man. Met him yesterday. A very soft-spoken man. And he got to speak here, and I got to talk to him in private a little bit. And this is what he told me. He says, I am Burmese, and I lived in Burma. My parents were Christians. He says, 5.5% of Burma, Burmese people, know the Lord. The rest are lost. He said, missionaries came to Burma and shared the gospel, and my parents came to know Jesus. I also came to know Jesus. He says, I am your fruit. I am the fruit from American labor. I am a fruit for missionaries who come from America. But he says, I will tell you, when we came to America, he says, I wanted to go back and preach Jesus to my people because I love my people. He says, I went back, I began to preach here and there, and we went into a small community. The people began to pick up stones. This is in 2009. Pick up stones, and he began to throw stones. So me and my wife were stoned, and they threw stones, and as we were walking out of the community, stones were still hitting us. But we did it because we love Jesus, and I love my people. So here, he says, I take pleasure in persecutions. Did he like the stone being thrown at him and his wife? No. Were they covering themselves up to try to protect themselves? Yes. But, he says, we found it worthy to be able to share Jesus with our people that we love. Though they didn't love us, we love them. And all we were doing was the same thing that missionaries did for my family and the people did for them. But then he came down to the end of it. He says, but in all of this, it all come from Jesus himself being persecuted. And so this man began to share about being persecuted. And so the scripture reminds me of him. He says, I'd rather both, or he says, in persecutions. And then he says, in distress. He says, also in distress. Because when we have that anxiety, we're in distress, we're in danger. We have that tendency to, Lord, there's no place right now tonight that has more prayer, probably more prayer than the churches that we have tonight. There's more prayer in hospitals right now. Because they're in distress. Families are in distress. They don't know if someone's going to live or someone's going to die. But those who know Christ, they can take pleasure in distress, knowing that there's a peace that transcends all understanding. And it only comes from Christ. In distress. How many of you all lost a parent? Y'all lost a parent? There's a time of distress. You still miss them, right? And you miss them, but in that time of distress, you prayed, and people say, life is hard, and I can't believe that God didn't answer the prayer, and so your father or your mother passes away, and so you went through that time of distress, and there's needs, and there was all kinds of things, and then somebody persecutes you because you prayed, and God didn't answer, and then now you're doing the funeral for your family member, and then you stand there, and they go into the grave, and you walk away, and after everything's over, that person's gone. And you have to be able to walk away knowing this, God's grace is sufficient. It's bigger than the moment because of the promises that he has for his children. Thank God for that, amen? That it doesn't end at the grave. But his grace is sufficient. So in distress, we need to know that we can take pleasure in that, knowing that we don't like what's going on in the moment, but life is bigger than the moment, and God's grace is bigger than the moment. And he says this, as he puts this together, he says, for I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. It all comes back to Christ's sake. It all comes back to Jesus Christ. And he comes up with this big piece right here. Paul says, for when I am weak, and then I am strong. You see, if you don't have Christ, when you're weak, you're weak. And that's it. When you're strong for a moment. But when we are in Christ, it's all together. When I'm strong in Christ. When I'm weak, I'm still strong, right? So I am strong. When I'm weak, you're strong. When you do it in Christ, when you understand the grace that God has given to you to be able to handle anything and everything that comes in front of you. You may not like it. You may not understand it. But it's in front of you, and it's a freight train, and it's on a freight train wreck, and it's a train wreck happening right in front of you. And everything is disarrayed. Life is all out of focus. You can't even think beyond tomorrow. What has just happened is a big mess, and there's a lot of pain and heartbreak. People saying all kinds of things, whispering in your word. You're hearing everything. You think you're hearing things. You're not hearing. things, your mind's wrestling with you. But in all of that distress, there's a spot in there that gives you peace. And that's the peace of God. That's Christ Himself. And when we take a moment, God calms the storm. And we're going to be weak in that moment. But He says, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. God's grace has to be sufficient because there's nothing else that is sufficient. Nothing else is sufficient. Nothing. Nothing is sufficient except Christ. I look at these list of things that He says I take pleasure in. We look at the thorn in the flesh. Life is hard. Life is painful. There's decisions that you young people are going to have to make where your parents are not going to be a part of that decision. You're going to have to make that decision on your own once you get out of the house and you become young adults and you're out on your own. There's decisions that you're going to have to make. And you need to make them in a wise way, in a way that's different than the rest of your peers that are out there living life without Christ. You are different. You have Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have those tools. And you need to remember that you're going to have some times where these things are going to happen. You're going to have some weaknesses. You're going to have some battles and needs and distress and those things in life because that's part of living. But through all of that, we need to understand that God's grace is sufficient for me. Basically, it comes down to these two things. Jesus is enough for anything I'm going to go through. Anything you're going to go through, Jesus is enough. That settles me real quick. It doesn't no matter how big the mountain is, how low the valley is, how painful the day is, Jesus is enough. And even in the moments when I know that He is enough, when I feel weak, I'm really strong. But only strong in Jesus. Does that make sense? My strength, your strength, comes from not us knowing the Word, but living the Word out, experiencing it, putting it into life application, putting it into life knowing that says, listen, for I am weak, I am strong. God's grace is sufficient. And then you tail off and you begin to go into the greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And you begin to rattle off, I can do all things through Christ. It strengthens me. And you begin to go through some other things. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time you will reap a harvest. We don't quit. We keep on going. There's a reason why you go through the valleys. There's a reason why God shuts doors. He's doing it sometimes to protect you. Sometimes He's doing it because there's a blessing around the corner. Sometimes you need to learn a lesson. But sometimes He just needs you to be in need so that you will call upon His name. The prodigal son was in the pig pen. And he was in need. I don't think he went to the pig pen for one day. I think he was in the pig pen for a few days, for a little while. Something worked in his brain and said, listen, I don't need to be here. The story ends up that he goes back home. You know why he went back home? Because he became in need. He had a need. He wasn't being able to take care of himself, and he had physical needs. But he also had an emotional need, a spiritual need. And sometimes God allows the physical needs to get us to the point where we come back to Christ. We come back to Him. Don't think the things that are going on in your life that there's a season for everything. And listen, there's a season for storms, and storms need to happen. I need to be in some storms from time to time. I don't like them, but I need to be in them. It defines on who you're going to be and how what your character is going to be. Your character is not who you are on the sunny days. It's who you are, how you make it through a storm. You need storms in your life. You do. And from time to time, you need a thorn in your flesh so that you can understand that God's grace is sufficient, that Jesus is enough. And I hope tonight that you know that Jesus is enough. He's enough for you and you and you and me. And no matter what I go through, when I am weak, then I'm strong. When it's in Christ. You try to handle it on yourself, you're not going to make it. But when you turn it over to Christ, things begin to turn around. But you may still have that need, but it's okay, because God's grace is sufficient. Amen? Just go ahead and stand. We'll give you an opportunity tonight. No matter what's going on in your life, I want to let you, one thing you know, let you know tonight is God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through. Listen, God knows what you're going through. If you don't think God can take care of you, then you boast upon yourself. Because if you don't think God can take care of you, you think that you can take care of yourself. I'm going to ask you to do something. Put an imaginary mirror in front of you and say, well, how good have you done with your life? Now, we understand that we don't do so good with our life, so we need Christ in our life. But that doesn't mean that all things are going to go away. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to have needs. That doesn't mean I'm not going to have obstacles. That doesn't mean a marriage isn't going to have some problems. That doesn't mean your kids are going to be perfect kids. Some of you have had kids that have run off all over the place, living outside of the Lord's will. Some marriages have almost crumbled. Life is hard. But even Paul says this, God's grace is sufficient. For I am weak, and I am strong. He says, I don't do what I want to do, but I do those things I don't want to do. Paul struggled. And he was honest because he was boasting in his infirmities and his weaknesses to lift up the name of Jesus. How do I get beyond those things? I keep going back to Jesus. I keep going back to Jesus. I keep going back to Jesus. And that's what you and I need to do. There's no perfect couple in this house. There's no perfect person in this house. The only one that's perfect is the presence of the Lord. And we need to lean in His, we need to rest in Him. We need to learn to rest in Him, which is another sermon, but I hope tonight for you that, and that just came out, I don't know why, but maybe somebody needs to hear that tonight, but rest in Him. Rest in Him. Even with your needs, lean back in Jesus. So, I want to give you guys an opportunity. If you want to come down and pray about something in your life, something that's going on, maybe one of these things are popping up to you. Maybe you feel like there's a thorn in your flesh and you can't shake it. It's okay tonight. Just say, okay, Lord, if this is the way it's going to be, give me the strength to work through it. Give me the peace to lay it down and be able to work through this thing and understand and know that your grace is sufficient and I can get through this. Sometimes God will remove it, and sometimes God allows something else there. Because that's what keeps you close to Him.